Here's the big question. Can Nico actually play like he did in Mouse in FaZe? What do you think, Blair?
I've actually been thinking a bit about this. So the thing with Nico in Mouse was at least, you know, in,
yeah,
in
me
the
too.
Past,
I went through a whole box of wipes. Keep going. Keep going. Kleenex sponsorship incoming, Moses. Spray worthy. I think that was spray worthy. Right, keep going. Come on.
For like the past few months, the thing with Nico is, you know, he's pretty much okay. The team, right? Like, he hard carries the team. Everyone listens to him, like, you know, asking everyone to shut up and whatnot. Like, it's his team. He pretty much gets
his catchphrase. Yeah,
it's his catchphrase. Like, he gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. And I mean, and also he's Nico. You know, he gets all these fucking crazy shots and this massive, like, you know, he wins games for Mouse pretty much single-handedly. I haven't seen such a hard carry in CS:GO ever, at least in CS:GO. If I'm not mistaken. Now, the thing with Nico joining FaZe is it's going to be Carrigan. And Carrigan, you got to remember, like, I mean, Carrigan joining FaZe really did, you know, make them kind of at least a potent force compared to how it was earlier. Like, they seem important at one point, even though they had all these, you know, all these aim stars. And Carrigan coming in and, you know, putting this sort of a structure, so to speak, into place for FaZe has made them what they are right now. They are pretty... you know, they're still not, I don't think they're still going to reach any finals anytime soon, but they are a pretty formidable lineup. Now, Nico coming in, that's the thing. Like, how well is going to gel underneath Carrigan's leadership? Because Carrigan's leadership has taken him to a certain point here. And Nico's coming in, you know, from Mousesports, where he was pretty much Genghis Khan, you know, in the team, pretty much. And now he's coming into Carrigan's style of play, and he's going to, how's it going to gel? Like, is Carrigan going to use him the right way, or will, like, Nico be like, oh, you know, I know what I'm doing. Okay. It's me, Nico, you know.
Yeah. Shut up. So, yeah.
Remember a few years later, I think it was when we went online, where he did that, like, betting podcast thing where it was like overrated, underrated. I think it's even after you'd had like the Mouse period and got like that lineup up. He still said overrated when they said Carrigan. Don't worry, by the way, I was the next day we said I'm overrated too, so fair play, right? But when he said that, that did sort of give away the game, Nico, that, like, even if you didn't have him fired, you sort of did think he needed to go. But here's the way I'm going to phrase it. It's a very fair way to ask this question, right? The reason I've always found that storyline so fascinating, but also so frustrating is, I think both players are mega. Like, I thought you were a really good in-game leader. You had a few flaws. I think Nico was one of the best players even back then. He's amazing now, has his own idiosyncrasies, his own ways of working, some flaws, some strength. And I always just thought, if you're going to have international teams, he's played international teams his whole career, you've been IGLing them. How can these two not get along? How can they not win? So basically, here's what I would ask. Obviously, he didn't have 2023 Carrigan back then, and he wasn't 2023 Nico. So what do you think was the issue back then? Like, could you have coexisted? Is it like you said earlier, if you won Boston or Katowice, does that somehow like forge the trust or something?
I think we could have stick together. I think there maybe also have been a possibility that we could have played together in later point. I mean, it is what it is, right? We are still good friends. But if I ever go to play to Nico, I will have a deep talk about him and with him about everything, you know, like get everything sorted out. But I'm really good friends with him. I'm talking to him actually a lot because I don't hold grudges. I wasn't perfect in the end, right? I could see myself. I wasn't giving it my all. I was very tired of the whole stand-in thing. And then Olof came back and it didn't feel natural and the pressure was rising and we were not able to handle as a team. And Nico was never ever the lone factor for me getting benched. I mean,
right, if people make it like it was a rivalry, like Nico versus Carrigan, I felt like who was right, who was wrong, who you know, who did it, which obviously, look, the players don't see it that way, but this is what we do in the media business, right? Obviously, I was somewhat Team Carrigan. I wanted you to sort of prove him wrong, right? So I will say, when you won the major and you did it in FaZe Clan, when he's not in FaZe Clan anymore, after he chose to lead to GT, that was, in a way, I thought initially, like, oh, that's hilarious. Like, I even low-key wanted you to, like, flame him and be like, you know, what up now or something. But here's the saddest thing of all, Carrigan, is when I think of like how that Stockholm major went for him where he was fucking unbelievable, but just Na'Vi was there. Basically, he could have won that tournament against anyone else. And then I look at like the rest of his career. It's not funny anymore. It's actually like a tragedy now. Like obviously there aren't going to be any more CSGO majors. Like, it's actually kind of insane. You think how good he was for that many years as world-class, right? It's actually a tragedy. The guy never won a major, right? He's definitely good enough. That goes without saying, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I hope he wouldn't want to see us too, as long as we're not in the final, obviously. But I think it's sad because I think he has such a gift for the game, such a talent. And also, knowing Nico from 5 years ago to where he is now. He's way more mature in the way he sees the game, with the way he sees the life. He was, you have to still think, he was a young prodigy, young Nico when I played with him, right? And now when you're like, I think he's 25 or something, you know, like you're starting to have a view how to be professional, how to think, how to talk to teammates, how to act, you know? And I think he is such a complete player now. And I think back then he was a very raw diamond in that sense, that he had an insane X factor. Now I think he understands that he needs to be more than that, and he needs to be a good role model to his teammates as well. I think that's what maybe he lacked in phase to everyone, to be a good role model and trying to help everyone to improve, you know. So
here's the problem again, absolutely become like fucking Nico defender.
This is
the problem. When you're actually as good as Nico is, like Cassad said, when you're a player who in theory can do anything, like, listen, the thing with Nico is it reminds me of when Shox was at his prime and he used to just fuck around in AWP half the time as well. It's like, they can do it as a hybrid. If they're a hybrid, they'll be fucking sick. Like, they'll pick exactly the right time, the right spot to do it. Like, everyone knows on Cash CT side, Nico used to have a banging AWP. That was probably one of his best maps to AWP on. It's just, here's my problem. Because they can do it, doesn't mean he should. That's the issue. And the problem is, sometimes, believe it or not, for a player like that, I know everyone will see it as, oh, he's just being egotistical, so like, Kenny S, get out. No, he's actually trying in his own fucked up way to be a good teammate. He thinks to be a good teammate, it's like, look, at the moment, our AWP is really struggling. He can't do it. Listen, no one else in the team, like, look, in theory, Nexa could maybe do it, but he's the IGL. It's like, listen, I'll do it. Look, you know what, for now, I'll do it. I'll take over, and let's agree, we'll figure someone out in a few months or someone, but for now, I'll do it while we can, and keep the team rolling. I don't agree with it. Like, yeah, listen, I think you're the best rifle in the world if you want to be mate, but I can get what he's trying to go for.
Yeah, that's, I think he's like, yeah, he's definitely, there is nothing egoistical about that, but he's never like gonna say, okay, listen guys, this Kenny guy is shit, like, we need to, you know, just I will take the AWP. He legitimately thinks like, okay, if you're struggling, maybe I should take the AWP, you know. He's trying to do the best for the team, you know, and then and in the process he might have fucked himself, kind of, you know, by taking the IGL or something, and then he can just, they can make a better decision and do something different, you know.
If Nico or Ziwu have a 1.00 game, probably they had one of the worst games of their careers. Probably they fucked up. Probably they weren't good enough relative to who Nico and Ziwu are. Remember, they aren't just even good players. They're superstar players. They have the roles and the resources most of their careers to be the best player, not just on their team, in that server against anyone, and potentially in the whole world. So guess what? A 1.00 from Nico or Ziwu won't get it done. That ain't the way the team's been constructed. That's not what you expect from them. That's not what their historical form, the context of their career, their body of work suggests. That is a terrible performance for them, even if for many other players, even in top 10 teams, that's an okay performance. That is fine if you're Jax and you do that. That is probably fine if you're Magus and you have a game like that. Yeah, you can probably get away with that time to time. Not if you're Nico or Ziwu, because we're judging them to a different standard. By the way, that actually is a good example of what you're referencing there. You know, I said earlier how if you're like a star player who like gives off the right energy, actually it's going to like pump your teammates up. The joke is, if I was Nico's teammate, here's what I would do. I wouldn't watch the Nico frag movie, Legia. I would watch the Snipe to Die reverse POV movie of Nico. And I would watch that before we play for warm-up. And I would go, bro, that guy's on my team. Like, you see the guy where you just sat watching the corner and then the elbow just shoots you like in the head, isn't it? He's on my team. Dude, I'd be mega pumped. Like, yeah, let's go. Fucking yes. Come on, let's get in the server. Like, that would be the ultimate fucking hype move. Because it's true. When you see that, you are just like, are you just cheating or something? What the fuck is this? Yeah. Like, you never even see the guy.
Yeah, there's actually a round where we did this after a game. We played Nuke and Nico was like contacting down Secret. So you go Secret and you know there's like pixel line where you hold the smoke. And then right. When you spot the guy, you throw the smoke. And Nico is like crouch peeking. He one-ups this guy. And we see the guy on camera. He's like, He's like shocked. He didn't even know like this was possible. Sure. And we're like all laughing, and it's like always creating like good vibes in like the frag room. We're like, yeah, it's insane. Like right before we signed Nico, I was having like really a lot of problems with burnout. So I asked G2 to give me a break, like 1 month, and then like have the winter break and come back next year fully like refreshed. We had like some blast group stage tournament, whatever it was online. Didn't think it was relevant. But then Malik and the management told me that, yeah, we're signing Nico. We cannot let you like take a break now because it's going to look bad on us. Like we don't know what we're doing and it's going to make it look like, yeah, Nico's coming over. He's taking over his IGL again. He's going to kick next up, blah, blah, blah. It's going to look really bad. So they kind of made a compromise where they said, okay, like you stay as a player. We're not going to tell anyone on the outside, but Amanek is going to like do the in-game leader role on like three maps, and I'm going to want three maps to kind of release some load from me during like this period. But honestly, it didn't really help me. Like, I was still feeling like shit and stuff from like the burnout. But anyway, like, we were playing and like I was half leading, like Amanek was half leading, like, you know, from map to map. And I think like Nico joined the team and like he already sees like his in-game leader is not calling half the maps. It's like already problems and stuff.
So didn't establish it.
Yeah. So it was like already kind of fucked from the beginning, let's say. And then like when I felt like ready after the summer break, I felt ready to start IGLing again. And actually the first tournament where I was like completely IGLing on all the maps was the online one in Pro League where we went like 0-5. We didn't like beat anyone. So it didn't go that well.
It's like a fucking Steve Carell movie or something. How could it get worse? I know. Nico took over, and actually the story goes, Carrigan himself told this on like an episode I did, that like they are supposedly in phase. They tried to get a bunch of people to replace him. I think they tried to get Exist. I think they even maybe tried Golden. I've heard you were one of the names. I heard they asked you to join phase and you could like be an in-game leader of the team essentially instead of Carrigan. It would have been you with Nico and Rain and all off. Like, did you consider this move? Was it something you might have done?
I don't know. I don't remember the timeline, but I've been asked by FaZe a couple of times to join. But it might have been after I joined C9 already, it might have been just before the major, and I was like, maybe I shouldn't have been before the major, but because then I would probably have gone to FaZe. But I think I kinda gonna be kind of funny to say, but I kind of had some trust issues with going to play with Nico.
Okay, what, from playing an FPL or so, or you thought he'd cut you like Carrigan or something like that?
I felt like there was problems surrounding him constantly. Like team wise, so I was like maybe not fully confident in going to play with him and making it an actually good team.
So it was like a fear of maybe some sort of drama or some sort of issues. Not necessarily him specifically, but just seemed to follow him around in his career is the idea, right?
Yeah, I think that was kind of my thought process back in the days. And obviously then I joined C9 instead.
Nico, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Now, this is just a good comment. He says, Boston would have changed everything in terms of this conversation. A history-defining moment. Suddenly, you'd only really have players like Cady and Unleash as the greatest to never do it. Right, first of all, we'll just address the Boston part. I'm with you, because the problem is that team was almost everyone due for a major. Rain was due for one as a second or third star. Nico was a main star and the greatest rifler ever. He would have been dubbed after that. Carrigan, to put him in the GOAT conversation of IGL, even though he was already in it anyway, but for people who need the resume, etc. Guardian, because he even is one of the greatest players ever, with or without a major. He's that great, and he deserved one for the last couple before that. He even had the injury out of nowhere. And then you obviously have Olofmeister already had majors, but he did it at a Dupree and won it in a different role and contributed in a different way with a different team and a national team. So yeah, it would have been really cool. The one part I will take umbrage with is this part.
I don't forget the people that support me. And in the case of this video, that would be Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Jason, Jensen Gore, Nikki, Tosh, Toucan, and you know who I'm always going to give the biggest shout out to, my boy Jerky's Minion. Do you want to ask a question for my video AMA? Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Maybe you want to find out who the next guest is on one of my interviews that I've already recorded but not yet released. Or maybe you want to take part in one of those fabled long-form discussions where you get to decide the topics. Well, if any of those perks or others tickle your fancy, simply click on the Patreon link in the description box below and put your money where your mouth is and join the Scrilluminati today.